Welcome to Picks with the Professor, the show where a real statistics professor gives you sports betting tips. Cousin Jared, we are here to talk about the Friday first round games of the 2024 NCAA tournament. We've already had some news from when we recorded the first show with Jake until now, which is that McCullough for Kansas is going to be out for the entire tournament.
That decision couldn't have possibly been influenced by what happened to Florida State in the college football playoff, right? Like, with information until after this committee has made selections.
I mean, Kansas was either way, but touche. What you're saying
here. But would they have knocked him down a seed or two? I don't know.
You know, it would have been worthy of doing such if you were to try to seed them based off how good they are. We've talked along the season about, we talked about with Jake, that those injuries matter. They are so thin. They only have five above average players, and he's one of them. Now, of course, we turn our status to Hunter Dickinson and see if he can play, because that even matters more now. So I stand by what I said about the football and this, that this should be based off of resumes and have nothing to do with future performance, that this should be rewarding the kids for what they've done. Yep. And if they're injured, it should not matter whatsoever. But anyway, that's a whole other ball game. All committees are terrible.
Yes.
Across the board, especially when selecting college teams to play in tournaments, apparently.
Yeah.
We are doing NIT, CBI, and CIT picks over on Dub Club. Eventually, the tournament picks will shift to Dub Club. We will not be doing a show as the tournament winds down. We will have a show for the weekend games. We will have a show for the Sweet 16. That might be the last one, the Sweet 16 show. Might do an Elite Eight show. Very TBD on that, on the timing. But we won't have a Final Four show. We will be full into baseball on the shows at that point. So the last part of the college basketball tournament picks and all those other tournaments, all that stuff over on Dub Club. Projections, details on every game, hockey, baseball. We already, Cousin Jared, started out 2-0 in baseball, which is a lot of fun this morning.
Yeah. Anytime. I was having flashbacks to COVID times where I would log on in the morning and be watching KBO baseball at like 7 a.m. It was I can look back fondly on those times now.
Now, yes. Yeah. I think it was John Oliver who made the joke that something about, like, he hopes that in history forward, that when they look back on this, when they write about it, that it's basically like, things were weird. We tried our best. You just had to be there. that kind of summarizes a lot of that. But they definitely did show some of that this morning. They showed some of the flashbacks to that and some of the things that they were doing. And of course, had one of the reporters there that apparently everybody loved and knew on the broadcast as well. So it was a nice little throwback to that, where they provided us a lot of entertainment when things happened to be better there than they were here, because that was of course different all across the world. So it was some fond memories, definitely in hindsight now that we're here, much more so that they could bring us some joy in those times. It was a lot of fun there. We'll have one more game, of course, over there before we get to the regular stuff, but a lot of reasons to be over at Dub Club. Sign up, link in the show description. That QR code there will get you $5 off your first month. Kept the summary slide in here in case you're new. Not as good as we would have hoped for college basketball, but still a lot of things to be really excited about, including the plays of the day. Wrong team favorite sides, and we kind of like officially designated those as A grades, but a lot of those wrong team favorite games were part of the play of the day. So we highlighted one of those already on the Thursday games. Cousin Jared, the show now moves into a little bit of a different style because we kind of had so many games before we were able to focus in on just the bigger games or just the A grades or just the B grades that were so close to an A grade. You might as well, that play it or whatever. And now we're starting to get into more old school handicapping, having to try to figure out what we like based off of our expertise that we've seen a lot of these games, we've seen a lot of these teams, and more specifically how we know the model has treated these teams and where to catch some of those things. We did it for Thursday show. We'll do that for Friday show. Anything else to mention with regards to that? Because it just gets a little bit of a different flavor here now going forward before we get started.
Yeah, it's a little bit different, but man, this, Thursday, like, not everybody can take off Thursdays, but most people stop at work on Thursdays. I feel like Friday is always the best day of the tournament. Like, you've got the weekend, you've got two more days. You had the first course on Thursday. Most people can find a way to get off a few hours early on Friday. So it's just, I feel like Friday is always the best day of the tournament.
Of course, it depends on what time zone you live in, because when they start, you know, the Eastern time zone, they start at noon, very different than out West where they start at 9 a.m. is a whole different world with regards to how much you can watch. Hopefully, you're able to watch as much as you can handle here. Games. Friday night is always fun because then we end up with finishing up round one and we get the whole has there been a buzzer beater type stories. Fun. But without further ado, we'll start off here. 12:15 p.m. Eastern, the early game Friday, Northwestern and Florida Atlantic. And we take a couple of unders in the early games on Thursday. But we're going to go over here, Cousin Jared. And the main reason is Northwestern's been an over team all season, and people just have not figured that out for the most part. They do play slow, but people, the books, the market, whatever you want to call it, seem to just struggle to understand their offensive efficiency, how high it is. Florida Atlantic has been a team that's had higher numbers all season because they don't play at a slow pace, but they also have a really efficient offense. Because Jared, the only way this pick runs into trouble is if it's one of those early sleepy starts, new gym, that sort of thing. That's baked into the books number. It's baked into the model. And there's a reason we were taking a lot of unders because of that. But if none of that happens, I mean, this has overwritten all over it. The offense will have the edge every second of this game by a large margin. As you can see there on screen, number 29 offense versus number 79 defense, number 17 offense. There's number 103 defense. We're projecting 146 points. We're going to go over 141 B grade, which turns out to be one of our stronger plays here at the tournament. The B grade did well for us in the NIT here on Tuesday night. Hopefully that can continue here throughout the rest of the week. Cousin Jared, what are your thoughts?
I am hoping that Northwestern makes a deep run into the tournament because I cannot wait for the non-college basketball people that are tuning in to be, you know, amazed by Boo Booey. Mm-hmm. And that there is somebody named Boo Booey, because that will go a long way. He is a player that will blow up if Northwestern can make a run in this tournament. You talked about the Northwestern side of this. I want to talk about the Florida Atlantic side, a team that has a very good offense, but their pace is like just it's above average, but kind of more middling more than anything. And so sideline has more than a few times said, hey, we need to be taking an under here because the pace is not that high. And in general, those unders in Florida Atlantic games have not worked out because their offense is so efficient that they still find ways to put up lots of points. So completely agree with you. Northwestern, because of the style of play in the Big Ten in general, doesn't get to show off their offensive chops. But for me, this is more about Florida Atlantic and that offense being very, very efficient. I like to back their overs anytime the sideline tells me there's a slight edge in that direction.
And of course, we talk about the offense and how good they are and the defense and how bad they are. It's kind of the same story either direction. We talk about Boo Booey, of course, a great name. Also a very good college basketball player, of course. We'll make sure no one catches it. We're not dismissing it. You know?
And most importantly, he's also a very good college basketball
player. Yes, also very good. Colgate will take on my Baylor Bears here in the second game early slot. Baylor has struggled a few times in the tournament in this early slot. I know because I've been there, not literally at the games, but I've watched them.
Well, but there was a Fiesta Bowl where you were there.
There was a Fiesta Bowl I was there that they struggled into. Yeah. There was a Cotton Bowl that, for whatever reason, they decided to end the game after three quarters with Baylor up three touchdowns. It was a weird, weird scenario that year. But, you know, I don't make the rules. Colgate plays slow. They're better on defense than offense. Baylor is a fantastic offense, but they've played just slower and slower and slower as the season's gone along.
Slower and slower.
Yeah. And I don't, you know, I don't have a personal line to Scott Drew, unfortunately. He's a very busy man. But I hypothesize watching this team throughout the year that they just kind of were thinking about the tournament and what style they wanted to play, playing a little bit more under controlled and maximizing their possessions. And that it just seems like that must have been what they were preaching every week because they just got a little bit slower, a little bit more controlled, a little bit, you know, every single week, a little bit more. And that doesn't mean they didn't have some games that went over. That Texas game just stands out as one of our both defenses were just like, nah. But Texas was more of an over team this year, whereas Colgate, not that their offense is terrible for their conference, it's just that they're better on defense and they play slow. This seems like a game that neither team's going to want to push the pace. If we have any of that early game new gym issue, this under looks pretty strong. It's only a C grade, under 130.5, model saying 137.5. But it's one that, knowing that the model was really liking those Baylor overs as the season went down, which was about 50-50 on them. It passed a handful of times and it went over, you know, a handful of times, about 50-50 at best. I kind of like this under a little bit more than the grade would indicate. Cousin Jared, what's your take?
Yeah, I agree with that, mostly because Colgate has a relative to their competition, especially has a pretty decent offense. But they just have not played a defense like they're going to see in Baylor all year. And so the fact that I think you can knock down their offense a peg in this game, combined with Colgate's pace that they naturally want to play at, and Baylor, who, to your point, has had no interest in going any faster, especially the back half of the season. I just think that the combination of Colgate's pace and them seeing this type of defensive capability, Baylor, not the best defensive team, but much better than most of the teams that Colgate's able to play against. I think that'll be the difference here. And Colgate's offensive rating has honestly kind of gone down as the season has gone on. There was a point in time where they were, 108, 107, and they slowly been trickling down more towards average. So I think any way you slice it, I just don't see there being a lot of points scored in this game.
People might not have paid much attention to Colgate this year, but they went under almost twice as often as they went over. And then their games against the quote-unquote better competition of the season, I'm going to throw Yale in there because Yale was a pretty solid team. They put up 50 against Yale in a game that massively went under. They put up 55 against Arizona in a game that went under. They put up 57 against Illinois in a game that went under. And they even got to 75 against Syracuse, but that game also went under that number. So yeah. Not to say it can't go over. It's just there's a lot of ways we can get to the window, a lot of different things that can happen to get this under. That's what we always talk about, right? Yeah. We are not trying to predict the future. I don't know exactly what will happen every single game. Nobody does. But when you look at it, all the different ways you can get there, you have to think the probability this game goes under is much greater than 50%. You're probably talking 55, 60% of a chance that it goes under. Maybe even higher than that if you take out the overtime possibility, the light foul scenario, the it's a blowout and who the heck knows what's going to happen, those weird scenarios, right? If it plays out like a normal game, under makes a lot of sense for these two teams. 1:45 p.m. Eastern, UAB and San Diego State. Cousin Jared, this one, I think, have a lot of eyeballs here. A couple of mid-majors. Yeah. UAB, a team that we've talked a lot about this year, taking a step back with Jelly Walker moving on to professional ball, but they still managed to win their conference tournament and sneak in here to the big dance. San Diego State, a very strong team. The Mountain West, we wondered if they were underseeded from the start, and not to say that Virginia deserved to be in the tournament because we went on record and said they didn't, but it does make you wonder what the shellacking that Colorado State gave them. If, again, the Mountain West might be a little bit underseeded in this tournament. It's a very strong conference, bouncing back from its from a year or two that we're down there. The San Diego State team sideline has them at 35th overall. Because, Jared, I like laying the 6.5 here with San Diego State. Two reasons. Number one, I always love two ways to get to the window. Number one, San Diego State just blows them out. That's very possible. That defense could be suffocating. This game mm-hmm. could land like 65-50 or something, where UAB just really struggles to get going because San Diego State defense is legit. Number two, because we're only laying a number like 6.5, late fouls can get us over the number. So that's the first reason I like laying the points here with the Aztecs. The other reason is, even though the model says it's only a 2-point discrepancy, I really think we're getting a couple extra points of value here because there's a lot of people looking at this game thinking that these teams are closer than they are because they're both mid-majors, but there's a world of difference between these two teams. Ignore the conferences and look at everything else, and these two teams are nowhere near each other in terms of how good they are. Doesn't mean San Diego State wins. Upsets happen, of course, and that's what makes this fun. But if the averaging plays out, San Diego State wins by about 10-ish points, line 6.5 makes a lot of sense. Cousin Jared, tell us more.
Yes, I completely agree with everything you said about San Diego State is the Mountain West underrated. Completely agree with all that. There may not be a, I'm sure there probably are, but UAB is one of the teams that comes to mind where it's like, if you would have talked to me 2 weeks ago, the perception of this team would have been completely different, but then going on the run, winning their conference tournament. The other thing I would point out is because of all of the other upsets in the AAC tournament, they did not have a just super challenging road to win that conference tournament. So, a team like, Drake that knocked off, I believe it was Drake that knocked off Indiana State, right? Yeah. Like, you can look at that and you can be like, hey, they got in and they kind of knocked off the big boys to get there. UAB, you look at it, you're like, yeah, did they really do much to win that conference tournament? So I think there will be some teams in this tournament where I will say, hey, look, they're playing, they're hot at the right time. I don't think I want to fade that team, or I think we should be backing this team. This team does not fall into that category. And I look at some of the games that they played earlier this season. They lost by 21 to McNeese State. They lost by 13 to Florida Atlantic, who probably a similar team, different style of play, but maybe a similar overall team to San Diego State. And then, of course, they had a big blowout loss to Memphis there in conference. So you could definitely like go through UAB's schedule and cherry pick some games that like may be the opposite of what I just said. But on the whole, when they play teams of this caliber, they have lost big more often than they have covered or won. So yeah, UAB could cover in this game. But I think based on what I've seen the whole season, I like San Diego State to cover a number like this. And to your point, free throws always help us out at a number like this.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the AAC really taking a step back this year. We knew they would be hurt a little bit by losing a few teams to the Big 12. Not that UCF was the best team in the world, but they played some solid defense and they raised the profile of that conference. Cincinnati, not the best team in the world, but at least had some talent there. And of course, you know, losing Houston was a big blow as well. But you really just, you know, you took two solid teams and one fantastic team, and what they replaced them with kind of made them a lot worse. And so it's just, you know, last year I would have said the AAC was as good, if not better, in the Mountain West. But this year, that is just not the case here. The level of competition San Diego State's played has been stronger as well. This game's in Spokane, Washington, which I have to think helps San Diego State. At least you're staying in the same time zone. You are playing an early game there, local time. This will be a 10:45 a.m. Tip. So it's possible it doesn't really help anybody that much, but at least even though that's long travel for San Diego State, it's only long travel one direction. Alabama is around the same, you know, north-south as San Diego State is. But so they have to travel that same part, but they also travel across as well. So
right.
Long travel for UAB, if that matters any as well. 2 p.m. Eastern, Western Kentucky and Marquette. This one ought to be a fun one because Marquette loves to speed you up, loves to force turnovers, get up and down the court. Now, they'll play slow, absolutely, if you want to play slow with them. But they try to speed some teams up by that pressure defense. And Western Kentucky wants to play fast. This game could go a lot of different directions based off of how many turnovers Marquette can force and how the pace plays out. I'm really fascinated to see it play out. But aside from the specifics, on average, Sideline says that Marquette wins by an average of about 20 points. We're going to lay 14, be a great pick. It's a lot of points to lay. But when you think about the early games, the blowouts that there are, there's going to be a bunch of games, there always are, unfortunately, that you turn off by halftime and aren't interesting whatsoever. And in a game that could have some crazy pace and some crazy high points, the probability that that type of game is the blowout increases. Western Kentucky plays decent defense, especially for their pace, but this Marquette team is really good, and we've talked about it for a week or two now. Tyler Kolek, very good. One of the better players in college basketball. Marquette has a lot of depth. And so even if he's not able to play in this first game or this first weekend, Marquette can more easily replace him than a lot of teams can. So even with him questionable, I still have Marquette is the seventh best team in the country. They are really good. This is a situation where we're trying to take advantage of a game where Sideline thinks that the favorite is actually better than the market is treating them. Cousin Jared laying the lumber here with Marquette. We're going to take some dogs every once in a while, but this is one of the bigger numbers that we're actually laying here in the first round.
Yeah, to your point, Western Kentucky, according to Sideline, a 144 on pace, one of the fastest paces, highest paces. I don't know. What that doesn't roll off the tongue well, but one of the highest paces in college basketball. They just try to make everything
funner. One of the funner paces. I like that one. That works.
Yeah, one of the more. I'll go one further. More funner paces. But the problem is they are just wanting to make everything happen faster. And when everything happens faster and more things happen, Marquette is just better at absolutely everything than Western Kentucky is. I mean, we have seen plenty of times where, you know, there have been upsets. There have been teams that shouldn't be in the game keeping it close. But this is just one where it's so outmatched. And in my opinion, the pace doesn't present a challenge to Marquette. It's just kind of you're going to play into Marquette's hands if you want to play more quickly. So I like Marquette. laying the points. There won't be very many times in the tournament you'll hear me talk about laying big numbers like this. But I think this is just a bad matchup for Western Kentucky.
Yeah, we're doing it, I think, one other time, two other times here laying double digits, but for the most part, we're either staying away from them or on the dogs on those games. Out of the 16 or so that we have, for only a few times. The other thing to note, Western Kentucky overall ranks number 165 according to Sideline. Stetson's 173, Longwood's 171. They're basically in the neighborhood as those two number 16 seeds. And so that's the other thing to talk about here, is that's why there's a big mismatch. And I'm not saying that Sideline has perfectly nailed this, right? All models are wrong. Some models are useful. What the model is trying to indicate to us, at least in some regard, is that Western Kentucky might be one of the weaker 15s and more like a 16, whereas Marquette being ranked number 7 is a very strong team, and that this Colac thing is probably a little bit overemphasized, especially early on playing a weaker team. Because the total in this game is 158.5. At least it was when we sent out our official picks to everybody on Dub Club. I have not updated that yet. We will get official updates for everybody on Dub Club as we get closer, which will matter, especially for a game like Kansas, which will have a new projection as well. Right. I wonder on the over on this one, I'm just going to put my speculation hat on and say, Western Kentucky plays fast, 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 fast. If they try to slow this game down, I don't think they're going to feel comfortable. I don't know why they would try to do that. Marquette seems perfectly happy playing a faster pace, speeding you up. They would seemingly relish, as you mentioned, the more things happen means we have more of a chance to show our dominance. Seems like the pace could get out of control. I'm not making the over an official pick here because we think laying it with Marquette makes more sense. But if there's a game that's like, 95 to 70 or something that gets into the 160s, like, this has definitely got a chance to be one of those games. I don't know if you have any thoughts on that.
I'll just echo what I've said the past couple months, man. Upper 150s, it's tough.
Gets tough.
If this got down to like 155, now we might be talking. But I think that would have to be my number, and I don't know if it's going to get to 155.
All right, good insight from you there. 2:45 p.m., Stetson and UConn. I mean, UConn's really good. I don't know what else to say about them. Stetson's not a bad team. They play a little bit slower of a pace, but the thing about Stetson is they're decent on offense and they're terrible on defense. Folks, Stetson's going to put up some points on UConn. Those points are then going to come kind of back down because the pace of these teams to balance us back out. But the difference in this game is going to be the fact that UConn is going to be able to name their score. They are insanely efficient on offense, playing a terrible defense. One of the worst defenses to make the tournament, might be the worst to make the tournament. Obviously, they're a 16 seed, but I mean, in the 300s is insanely bad. UConn hasn't faced a defense as bad in a long time. UConn might put up 100 points. The model pegs them for an average of 85. It's not a large edge. The number is really close to the projection. Projection's 144.5, model saying that. And so we're going to go over 144. I'd much prefer this at 140. But while I'm not sure how many Stetson gets because of the pace, I don't think the pace is going to be a problem. UConn might score every time they touch the ball. They probably won't, but they might put up 100 in this game because, Jared, we don't need Stetson to do that much to get us over. What's your take on this one?
Yeah, so you want to focus on how bad Stetson's defense is. I want to look at their offense and say, like, hey, for like a 16 seed, this is not a bad offense. No, like, there have definitely been worse offenses. And so I think there have been plenty of times where we've seen these 1 versus 16 matchups, and like, the 16 seed just is incapable of doing anything offensively or defensively just because they're middle of the road on everything. And Stetson, way below middle of the road defensively, but they are above average offensively. I think they are going to surprise people with how many points they score in this game. Now, Connecticut could double them up on points. But I think Stetson's going to score some points. So I think if you're looking at the total on this one, I think over is the only play almost based on both sides of Stetson, both offense and defense.
Yeah, the Big East plays a floppity billion conference game, so there's fewer non-conference games to look at for UConn. But just in the conference slate, they put up 95 in the tournament against St. John's, put up 91 against Seton Hall, 101 against DePaul, 99 against Xavier. So they can get some big, big numbers. But I want to focus in on some of the non-conference games that they play that are against comparable opponents, right? Gonzaga, UNC, Kansas, right? Texas, Indiana, not comparable to Stetson whatsoever. When you drop down to the next to this tier, they put up 101 against Arkansas Pine Bluff. They put up 84 against New Hampshire, 90 against Manhattan, 87 against Mississippi Valley State. 107 against Stonehill and 95 against Northern Arizona. On average, that's getting you to about 90, 92-ish points. Even if you drop that just a little bit for the neutral site aspect of it, UConn gets to the upper 80s. We don't need Stetson to do that much. As you mentioned, their offense isn't bad. Now, UConn's defense, of course, is great, but we just need Stetson to do a little bit here to just kind of get us into the, you know, mid-50s maybe, and we got a good shot at this over. It's over or pass for us. Would like a better number. Folks, always shop around, though. If you can find a slightly better number on this, it makes it a more appealing play. If you don't have an account there yet, check out BetUS. Now is a perfect time to sign up because you get 125% bonus here on your first three ever deposits. And the rollover requirement, going to make you play with that money a few times. That's just the way it goes because they're giving you a ton of free money. So they just want to make sure you play it. Now you're going to be playing a lot of games. So it's an easy opportunity to wrap up those rollover requirements. You should have an easy time with it in baseball as well. So a great time to sign up at BetUS if you have not yet, shopping around, getting the best numbers you can.
BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook and casino. Live betting and racebook. We're celebrating 30 years with a historic offer. A 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits. Plus, 10% gambler's insurance. Get started today. BetUS, where the game begins.
New Mexico and Clemson, 3:10 p.m. Eastern. Clemson team that we talked about can just be hot or cold from three, and if they're hitting, they can beat almost anybody in the country. If they're not, they can lose to almost anybody in the country. And that's how their season played out. They have some great wins, some terrible losses. Hard to really be confident in anything that happens in a Clemson game. New Mexico, on the other hand, we said from the start here, we think they're the best team in the Mountain West, even though they were the sixth seed. Their resume was not great, but they were a very talented team. Sideline has them at number 20 overall, 58% chance to win. We're going to back New Mexico at minus 125. It's a C-grade pick. The B-grade threshold, you're looking for more like minus 105 plus odds, gets you to that A-grade threshold. I'm not sure we'll get there. Maybe we do. We never know where the number's going to go. To me, I really like New Mexico. I can't be overly confident in New Mexico, not because of New Mexico, but because of Clemson. And that's where the odds and the number you lay here, the price, that's where it matters. Just because we're towards the end of the season, we always talk about don't lose your principles of making smart picks, being price sensitive, etc. Because in a situation like this, Clemson is so who the heck knows, laying minus 125 is going to cost you more if Clemson is a good game than minus 120, minus 115, minus 110. So this is really just all about the price. We like New Mexico, just don't want to lay a huge number. Because, Jared, how are you approaching this game?
I think – I mentioned earlier about teams that get hot at the right time. New Mexico, hot at the right time. And we talk about not knocking off any you know, UAB, not really having to face any of the stiff competition in the AAC. I mean, the Mountain West was fairly deep this year. And so, you know, New Mexico knocking off, you know, Air Force, which Air Force isn't a great team, but like Air Force has an identity. They can be a difficult
team. They can be frustrating.
Yes, they can be frustrating. Boise State, solid team. Colorado State, good team. San Diego State, good team. I feel like New Mexico is one of those teams that we talk about come in hot, playing well. Clemson, on the other
hand. Knocked off San Diego State to win the title, I believe.
Yeah. And so clearly New Mexico State coming in on a good note there. Clemson, the opposite, though, losing three of their last four, and two of those losses were to Notre Dame and Boston College, both of whom were very not good this year. So I think the trajectory of these two teams puts New Mexico as the favorite. The other thing is just Jalen House. Like, so much of college basketball during the tournament comes down to guard play. Who's going to get the best guard play? And it's like, I feel like Jalen House is going to be the player on the court for New Mexico that I have the most. If I had to pick one player to make a play at the end of the game, it's going to be House.
New Mexico winning in that championship game against San Diego State was so dang impressive. We had them as one of our picks in you know, last Saturday, and they had a guy in foul. They had a couple guys in foul trouble. They had a guy laying funny, get hobbled. House takes a technical, and they sit him down to kind of cool him off a little bit. And they withstood San Diego State's best punches and came on top. It was a very impressive win. And that's what we talk about. This is a very good team. The Mountain West is a good conference. We'll see here. We already saw Colorado State. We'll see. We're recording this Wednesday afternoon. Viewer, by the time you're watching it, maybe already Thursday. We'll see how Boise State handles Colorado in a game that, you know, we love Colorado as well. In that one, we've been backing them a lot this year. So we'll see. But overall, this Mountain West, we think, is really good. And Clemson, the AC is big enough. They've got a couple good teams, but when you can highlight some real sketchy performances against some of the weaker teams in the ACC, that's concerning. They can turn it on though. Again, that's the biggest thing about Clemson. They live by the three. They die by the three. They've died a lot lately. And if they can't figure out a way on a neutral court, new gym, might be difficult to get that going. That's going to be the only way that they can win this game. We'll take our chances with New Mexico. We'll lay minus 125. We lay a little bit higher, but in general, we just want to make sure we get a good price here. The lower, the better because of Clemson's variability. Side note, this game is rated as the best game of the day Friday. So definitely want to keep your eyeballs on if you can. Wrapping us up for the early slot, Yale and Auburn. There is one other early game that'll be Florida and whoever wins between Boise State and Colorado. Cannot handicap that game. Do not have a spread. Can't make a pick on it. So last one here for the early slot that we can cover, Yale and Auburn. Auburn, according to Sideline, the fourth best team in the country. Obviously, not a resume worthy of a number one seed, but they kind of remind me a little bit of UConn last year. Not quite the same. Obviously, UConn's dominance was insane last year. Mm-hmm. But a similar story as a four seed. You say this team's a lot better than a four seed. They have to be there because of, you know, X, Y, Z. But this Auburn team is really solid. They're good on offense. They're good on defense. The number that we're going to lay here, or that we would lay here if we were going to, would be 13. That's just such a big number, though, that we rather would go with the over 139. Model says 145. It's a B-plus grade. Because to me, it's lay it or don't play it with Auburn because we think they're good. But the over is a smarter investment. Like we said, we don't like to lay a bunch of big numbers. We're not going to do it often. And so if we have a chance to play an over that's a B-plus grade, sign me up here. Yale doesn't play fast. But Auburn can definitely put up some points. What's your point?
If the spread was like Auburn by 10, I would probably say, let's lay the points. Because we all know Auburn's affinity for winning games by double digits. It's 13, though. And those are three big points in a tournament game like this. Yeah. And so I feel like the play on the over here is somewhat of an offshoot of that. Is like, well, I still feel pretty good that Auburn is going to win this game by double digits. They're going to win it by 10 or 11 or 15 or 18. I don't know. But I think they're going to win by double digits, which I think means they're going to score some points. Yale is a team that definitely has the ability offensively to score enough to get this to 139. All you're really asking is that this game is a little higher scoring than your average, slightly higher scoring than your average college basketball game. And I think, I don't know why looking at these two offenses, you wouldn't think that this could be a slightly above average game.
Yeah. Yale put up 80 points a lot in conference, starting off conference play, and then wrapping it up. They finished by scoring 80 in their last four regular season conference games. I think the closest comparison that Yale's played, Yale hasn't played a lot of teams of this caliber. The closest one is Gonzaga, who they lost by 15-2 early in the season in a game that got to 157. And honestly, I think Gonzaga and Auburn are pretty comparable here. You know, Gonzaga historically has been a team that's better on offense, but this year actually looked stronger on defense, plays a faster pace, but not reckless. I mean, that's a pretty decent comparison. That game got in the 150s. I don't think this game's going to get that high because we're talking neutral site, tournament game. You know, you don't want injuries late if it's a blowout, that sort of thing. So there's a lot of reasons to ding that number down a little bit. But that game went over. This is the closest comparison here. So like you said, this is the offshoot of laying a big number here is taking the over 139. Before we get to the end games, I just want to remind people here, because some people are going to hear what we say there and they're going to think about teasing this number down. But again, mathematically speaking, you don't want to tease college basketball games because you tend to pay way more in what you are paying in the odds than the probability you get. So just because we're saying we would be more excited to lay 10 with Auburn, we would not be more excited to lay 10 with Auburn at, you know, minus 185 or something like that, right? We'd be more excited to lay Auburn at minus 110, you know, maybe minus 115, sure. But just as a reminder for people on that, we typically don't want to be buying points and teasing college basketball games. It's not a good strategy. 6:50 p.m. Eastern, Texas A&M and Nebraska. Cousin Jared, your boys played well down the stretch, well enough to get them into the 8-9 game here as a team that was on the bubble, playing a Nebraska team that is better than Texas A&M on offense, slightly much better on defense. this is going to be an interesting one because the Big Ten typically struggles in the tournament. They haven't been a great conference this year, but Nebraska is one of the better teams in the Big Ten. If you match up seed for seed, right, Nebraska, you could make a case was the third best team in the Big Ten. A&M was not the third best team in the SEC. I think third best versus third best, the SEC is a stronger conference and would have the edge there. But the third best team in the conference in Nebraska gets to play, you know, whatever you would say A&M would be in the SEC.
Fifth, seventh, eighth, something like that.
That gives Nebraska a 62% chance to win. We're going to play them at minus 115. I love this pick, B grade. If we could get A grade on it, or if we get, you know, even money would be A grade, that wrong team favorite game we love. Otherwise, it sticks to the B grade, but definitely want to recommend playing. Again, always a shop around. The closer we can get to even money, the better, but there's no reason not to like Nebraska as long as you're not having to pay a price like minus, you know, 160 or something, which is about where the model thinks it should be. Because, Jared, you know your Aggies pretty well. What's your take?
Not only are you know, these two teams playing in the men's tournament, they're also playing each other in the women's tournament.
And then the whole athletic director thing.
And the whole athletic director thing. Yeah. And then so a unique week around the workplace for me is what I would say.
For those who don't know, because Jared works with a bunch of Cornhuskers.
Yeah. And so very, very unique situation we've got here. I'll go back to what I said last week when we were talking about Nebraska and Indiana. Like, if you just get the poll, like, the fans of these teams know the best. And Nebraska fans feel confident. And them fans are like, I don't know. Not so sure. And I have to say, I have been not impressed is the right word, but A&M has just been so remarkably consistent the past few years in that they're just so frustratingly inconsistent.
Yeah.
And that has always reared its head once they have gotten into the NCAA tournament. These matchups like this just have not gone their way. And like, I have seen nothing, even with that victory over Kentucky, I have seen nothing that would make me think that A&M is going to win this game more than whatever you've got here. 38% of the time. 38% of the time. That feels about right, maybe a little lower than that. And so I think there might be additional value here. I have no faith in this A&M team. They could win this game by 20. They could lose it by 20. Like, I feel you have no idea what you're getting with A&M.
Or they could win the first half by 20, lose the second half by 20. That's almost what happened against Florida in the SEC, or against Auburn in the SEC championship game, or Florida in the semifinals.
They
looked great, got out to a huge lead, and then completely just fell apart in the second half.
Yep. And so not only do I think it's Nebraska a better team, but I also would be willing to pay a little bit of a premium just because Nebraska is the more consistent team. And I feel like I know exactly what I'm getting from them. A&M, who knows?
And just as a reminder, folks, when we say A&M wins 38% of the time, we do mean that. We're not saying Nebraska is a lock. There are no locks in gambling. Of course, many of you know this and you've heard this. Just as a reminder, though, you know, the reason we like this pick so much is that we're playing it at minus 115. If we're playing at minus 165, it's still probably what I would do, but I wouldn't like it as much. I wouldn't put that much on it, right? The minus 115 is the key here that makes this a good type of play we can play throughout the tournament and show a profit on in the tournament, because A&M can win this game. It's just the idea that if they win it 38% of the time, because Jared, you think maybe even a little bit less than that, getting close to 50-50 odds is a great investment. So just as a reminder on that, as we're thinking through these games. 7:10 p.m. Eastern, a game that we won't really be talking on the money line about because the spread is 12. We're going to lay the 12 with the Dukies here as the model says they win by 15. Vermont is a team that's interesting. They've typically lived and died by the three. This year, they're doing it a little bit more on defense. Duke, obviously a very strong team, but another team that can be maddeningly inconsistent. You never really know what's going to happen with this Duke team. And Vermont is strong on defense, but you have to be concerned if they can score enough points against Duke. The old Vermont teams, I think, stand a better chance hanging around because that live by the three, die by the three. If they get hot from three, anything can happen. But because Vermont is just not quite that same team, I think it's just more likely they just lose a ho-hum game by, you know, double digit. So laying 12 makes a lot of sense. B grade pick on Duke. Cause Jared, tell us more.
Vermont, one loss since the calendar is turned over to 2024. That's impressive. By any usual metric, you would say this team is coming in hot. But they have actually, they have actually won their last four games by 7 points or less, which that's good that they're winning them, but at the same time, not going up against great competition in those games, of course. And you flip that over to Duke, and yes, Duke lost to an NC State team that got hot. They lost to North Carolina that last game of the regular season. But when you look, when they've played those bad ACC teams, bad maybe a little strong word, lower tier ACC teams, Duke has taken care of their business and won a majority of those games by more than 12 points. As good as Vermont has been this year, you cannot convince me that they are any better than some of those lower level. Okay, you can convince me they're better than Louisville. But, like, you can't convince me that they're better than, I don't know, like Miami or Virginia or Boston College. I don't know. After last night, I want to say maybe Vermont's better than Virginia too. But anyway, the point is Duke has taken care of business against these lower level ACC teams. And I just can't bring myself to say that Vermont is any different than any of those lower level ACC teams, combined with the fact they were winning close games in their conference. And I couldn't even tell you which conference it is, but they were winning close games.
I think America East.
Yeah, sure. Sounds good to me. And so winning those close games, it's just like, I just don't see that translating against this Duke team.
Yeah, Vermont is 80th in the country in threes made per game, making about half a three per game less than they did last year. So, you know, taking a little bit of a step back there, that's the key, I think, to these upsets early on is do something unique, whether it's really, physical defense or, you know, having a big man who can bully you around or the three yep. or the Shaka Smart back with VCU pressure, something. Yep. And it's not really or eyeing here. So Duke by 12 would be a great pick. Another team that should run away with it's Alabama, but we're going to take Charleston at +9, very small edge here as the model says 8.5. This is solely about, I just do not trust Alabama whatsoever. Yep. I can't touch the total in this game because it's, oh my goodness, 173.
Yeah. Which feels right.
Yeah, this reminds me of the game, and many of our viewers have heard us talk about this when we went out to March Madness in Vegas, and we bet the under and whatever it was, North Carolina and like Long Island or something in a 215 game. And I don't remember what the total was. It's one of those stories where the fish gets bigger every time you tell the story. But I mean, we were getting like 212 points, and we went under, and there were like 415 scored or something like that. No, it feels like that game where it's like you have to say like, oh my gosh, it's a tournament you go under, but like there could be 200 points scored in this game, but I'm not going over 173 by any. I just don't trust Alabama. Yeah. I don't trust them to score. I don't trust them to play defense. They might do one, they might do both. And if they do both, they're going to win by double digits, but I just don't know what I'm getting from them. Charleston's a team that's been in the tournament. They're a solid team. Just need them to hang around, lose by single digits. What's your take on it?
Let's go to the next game. That's exactly what I would have said. I have no, like, just like, I just cannot bring myself to not take 9 points against this Alabama defense. We're just like, optional. Defense optional.
Absolutely. Also, at this time slot, Purdue will be playing the winner of their first four game. Again, cannot cover that one, but we will have the updates for that on Dub Club. To the late slots, Longwood and Houston. Because, Jared, we're going to go under on this one. Houston's defense is fantastic. They play slow. Longwood plays slow and is better on defense than offense. This has all the makings for an under. And on top of that, Cousin Jared, I was a little bit concerned because I feel like my brain was telling me Houston puts up a lot of points on bad teams. I think I was thinking more of last year's team and previous iterations of Houston that played a little bit more reckless with their pace. Those teams also suffered some injuries, and that might be why they're not playing that style this year because they're trying to keep everybody healthy, right? Maybe it's a little bit of a different world. So I went back and looked at the records because, Jared, I'm not going to read you the scores. I'm just going to read you who they played and if the game went over or under based off if they were a big school or a small school here. I'm going to ignore the big ones because that doesn't really matter. UL Monroe, under. A&M Corpus Christi, under. Stetson, under. Towson, under. Dayton probably doesn't even count, but whatever, under. Montana, under. Xavier probably doesn't count, whatever, under. Rice, under. Jackson State, over. Texas State under, Penn under. That is their list of reasonable comparison non-conference games. I don't know. Let's go under. 127 is a number. C-plus grade, almost to a B-grade. Model says 124. Tell us more.
Maybe my favorite play of the day is the under in this game. And I am also calling my shot. Virginia is not going to be the team that scores the least points in the opening round or the first round. It's going to be Longwood because I think this game is going to be about 70 to 43 or right. something like that. I think Houston just crushes them. The one other thing I would say is Houston has dealt with some injuries down the stretch. I think they get up big in this game and then just pack it in offensively, just start hanging on to the ball, running down the clock, get to the next round.
And in like every year I can remember recently, they've struggled with injuries. So yeah. it's on Kelvin Sampson's mind, of course, right? Yeah. They are at this point, it's like everybody's hurt, everybody's on bandages and that sort of thing. Everyone's in the trainer's room. So yeah, absolutely. It's take every second of the shot clock, minimize the possessions, get the job done, get the heck out healthy, and move on to the next round. They've got six games to win in their mind. And so no reason to run up the score anything in this one. So yeah, I'm with you. It's only a C-plus grade here, but I think this is a pretty strong under here from just a pure handicapping standpoint.
Yep.
9:40 p.m. Eastern, James Madison and Wisconsin. James Madison, a trendy pick. They're very good. Well, not say they aren't. I think the difference is this Wisconsin offense. We've talked about it all season long that Wisconsin's been more of an over team. Their pace isn't fast, but they're efficient on offense. They're very similar to Northwestern. In that regard, James Madison's pace is fast. We're going to go over 145. B-grade pick model says 150.5. We only have a handful of B-grades. Cousin Jared, this is definitely a B-grade that we think is worth an investment. With only one A-grade in the first round so far, it's like B's are the new A's, right?
Yeah, and I think James Madison, I think, has played in enough – decently big games where they're going to feel comfortable trying to play their type of game here. And I think that's all that we need to get Wisconsin over the hump here because their offense is so efficient. And so I think you're just asking both of these teams to do what they have done all season. And so I like this one. And James Madison, like obviously a good team, a team that has been good for a little while. Like they're not going to, I don't think they're going to show up and just lay an egg in the tournament. So I like this. I think both teams are going to score points.
Yeah, Wisconsin had no problem playing at Illinois' pace in the Big Ten title game. Illinois, a team that plays faster, probably the best comparison you can make is the last game Wisconsin played. That was their fourth game in 4 days. They can get to 180 points. I'm not saying this one does, but clearly fourth game in 4 days, they had no problem playing faster. So you see that number of pace on the screen. They had no problem going faster. James Madison wants to go fast.
You can't, and I'm not saying Wisconsin's going deep in tournament. Who knows? But I don't feel like you can compare this Wisconsin teams to Wisconsin teams in the past because they are different.
They're just different. Yeah, this is one of the better offenses they've seen that they've had. And the defense is not great. James Madison should be able to put up some points in this one. So it should be an interesting contest. The model has it pegged right around 5. The spread's right around 5. So it's a pretty should be a pretty interesting ball game. A lot of people are picking this as a 12-5 upset. Sideline says 2 out of 3 times Wisconsin wins. So, hey, 1 out of 3 things happen all the time. So very possible it could happen. We're going to stay away from that, though, and just go with the over. And we might have late fouls. We might have overtime. So a lot of ways that can help us get over as well. 9:55 p.m. Eastern, TCU and Utah State. We've talked about the Mountain West being battle-tested, being stronger than people realize. Here's the thing. The Big 12 is the best conference basketball. I saw a tweet the other day. It was like 72 computer systems that someone aggregated and every single one of them had the Big 12 as the best conference. I don't have that in mind. I have thought about like doing something like that. I just haven't done the code to average all of the rankings and find this out, but I guarantee you the Big 12 will be number one in mine as well. It's unanimous. And so I like picking a lot of these Mountain West teams because I think they're going down a level in competition in most of their games. This is not that case. Utah State is going to play a team that is just as good as San Diego State and New Mexico, the top teams in the Mountain West. TCU is going down a level because they're used to playing Iowa State and Baylor and healthy Kansas and Houston and playing at venues that are very tough to play at, like the Iowa States of the world, like the Kansas States of the world. Very different world here playing at BYU, which is just a random Tuesday, versus getting Utah State a neutral site. We're going to take TCU minus 160. Model says they win about 2 out of 3 times. Only a C-grade pick. The B-grade threshold is minus 135. I don't think we're going to get there. But we like being on TCU here. It's just what we are trying to indicate is the price is high enough that we just don't want to go too heavy on it. Don't put TCU in all your moneyline parlays because even though they're minus 160 and we think they win, we just don't want to pay too much for what we're getting here. So we're on TCU, but at minus 160, we aren't going full steam ahead with all of our money, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Because, Jared, what's your take on this game?
Yeah. So you mentioned that New Mexico was the sixth seed in the Mountain West tournament. I would take, and like, I don't know exactly how this would play out, but I would take the top six in the Mountain West against the top six in just about, and like not take them, but I think it would be a good matchup between the top six in the Mountain West and just about the top six in any other.
Like conference. They could go 3-3 or so, yes, against just, yes, about everybody.
Yes. Except the Big 12. Yeah. That is the only conference where I would say, you know what, Mountain West, you're good, but just the top of the Big 12 is different from the top of the Mountain West. So I'll be backing a lot of Mountain West teams this weekend. Utah State is not going to be one of them, just because I think this is the specific type of game where the Big 12 shows you how deep and competitive they were this year. Some team may get knocked off, but I think you're going to see a lot of these lower seeded Big 12 teams win at least one game, and quite a few get to the Sweet 16.
Yeah. That'll wrap us up here with the late game on Friday and the final iteration of the first round. I hate the committee for pairing these two games. Round whatever. If you're playing the drinking game for all the shows that we've done, all the content we've done this week, you're probably pretty hammered by now if you drank every time I said I hate the committee for what they've done here. I love backing Grand Canyon. I think the St. Mary's team can make a run. Sidelines got this at 5.5. The spread we pulled was 5.5. It's really difficult to say here. St. Mary's should win, but when you're laying a number like that, it might be close. It might not be. And the money line price is just too steep to mess with. So we're not touching the side. The total on this one's 131.5. The model says 131. I'm going to go under because, Jordan, I'm going to go under for one specific reason. And that is when St. Mary's is pink St. Mary's, you just never know if the game's going to get to 100 points. And that's the bottom line.
Yep.
I would be remiss if I did not point out that St. Mary's actually went over more times than they went under this year. But the counter to that is they went over in games where they scored 88 against San Diego and 83 against Pepperdine, 103 against Pepperdine before that, 84 against Pacific, 82 against Santa Clara, 95 against Portland, 81 the first time against San Diego. Those are all conference games that went over where they scored a lot of points. Some of their non-conference games, they did as well. You know, they put up 89 against Davidson, and that was a pretty impressive performance. But I'm just not sure in the tournament, the way that tournament games are played against a Grand Canyon team that's got a pretty strong defense, if this sets up for a game for St. Mary's to get to the 70s. I'm not sure either team gets to the 70s, and if that's the case, I'll take my chances with the under. Obviously, it could go, you know, 65, 64, I guess that's still going, or 68, 65, whatever, right, would still go over. So if nobody gets to the 70s, this game still could go over, and we could have overtime. We could have late fouls. So there's a lot of ways this under gets busted. So that's why it's not a strong recommendation for us, not our favorite pick of the night. But I think the under makes more sense than not, because knowing Grand Canyon's defense, knowing St. Mary's style, when St. Mary's plays a real defense, they lock it down. They go a little bit more cautious. When they play a crappy defense, they get up and out more. They have more fun. They shoot more. They score more. Everything's rolling great. I just don't think they can do that against Grand Canyon. If they were playing Longwood in the first round, that's a different story. Yeah. But they just are going to have a harder time, I think, with Grand Canyon. So we're going to go under the slightest of leans, really, at a number like 131.5. I'd really like mid-130s for this. Mid-135s. Mid-130s, like 135, seems a lot stronger, but as it is, still going to lean under. Cousin Jared, how are you handling this game?
I am going to go back to my skills of watching sideline, and sideline love to tell you to play a St. Mary's over, and I was like, I'm not being baited into doing this. I'm not doing it. So just the fact that sideline is flipped here and is saying under, even if it's just a lean, I think that is plenty of reason why we need to be on the under here. Sideline was seeing something with St. Mary's this year, and now it's flipped, and that's a good signal.
Yeah. That's every single game. Again, remember, it's 14 of them. The other two, only on Dub Club, because we don't even know who's there yet. All the NIT picks, all the CBI picks, all the CIT picks, all that stuff on Dub Club. QR code there will get you $5 off your first month. Same with the link in the show description. Otherwise, though, Cousin Jared, parting words before people embark on the first round of the best weekend in sports.
Let's see who can set the record for like not moving from the couch for the longest period of time. That's going to be my goal.
There you go. There you go. I feel like we're all in that competition. Yeah. That's all I've got for you today. Thanks for watching. We'll be back for a show for the weekend games later. Otherwise, though, best of luck. We'll see you on the other side.